All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, since the Super Mario Brothers movie is coming to Blu-ray, I went to a
Should I
pop
have read that
auction.
in the New York Times?
It's weird that I know that, but I've seen it pop up on news sources like three times for some reason.
Good
I went
God.
to a prop auction, and I actually bought the de-evolution gun from the Super Mario Brothers movie, and it works. It's a
Does
real thing. It
it?
wasn't a prop. Yeah, it was outlawed in many countries, but it's actually a thing that will de-evolve somebody into an earlier form.
Okay, so is this like a reverse aging kind of thing? Like, is this a fetish thing?
I mean, it can be. Like it depends. Well, let's find out. I'll
Well,
write a
don't
series
point
of
that
games
thing at
on your
me.
dinger, and then let's see what. Here, saddle up your penis up to this like chart,
No, I don't
and then
want to
we'll
do
see how
that.
high it raises.
Gary, I don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, you asked if it was a fetish thing. I figured this would be a good way. We've done a lot of terrible things to Derek, and Derek's done a bunch of terrible things to us.
All right, Derek, our bee god, who we transformed into a gigantic insect that took over our compound. Yes.
Yeah, and when it went off on his own, I think that the only way to get him back, to kind of undo this and give him a proper choice, whether he wants this, is to de-evolve him back into a human, with all his requisite skills and things he has now. But he'll be de-evolved, since he evolved previously, back to an earlier form of himself.
Wait, did you lure Derek back? Because last we knew, he flew up into the stars.
I spilled a can of cold black outside. So I feel like
Oh.
there's a really good chance he's going to be here in a minute.
Okay. Well, I
So,
mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I love that little guy.
me too. Well, I'm looking forward to we'll turn him back into human. We'll hang out with Derek. We'll have him do some of our filing that's been piling up.
Okay.
And then if he wants to turn into a bee god again, it's his choice. It's America. Ain't no government going to tell him not to be a bee god. Okay, here he comes. He's flying down. He's got stars for eyes now.
Welcome back.
Hey, buddy. Hey, Derek, you know that when you get to the bottom of a dum-dum pile and there's the mystery flavor, that's actually hold on. Okay,
What's
I
happening?
distracted him. Oh, he's devolving into a cute. Oh no, Cole, the setting was really high.
Oh no, what's
He's
happening?
turning.
I need
He's
you to
turning into
describe
a.
it.
He's turning into a, into some kind of caveman.
What? Oh,
Yeah,
Gary, you went too
it went
far.
back. I went too far. The setting was
Can
too high on
this
this thing.
re-evolve? Can is this a is this a revolution gun?
Only with time.
Like no, like just listen to Revolution X, Gary, come
That's the, well, I could zap him again, but I don't want him to turn into a fucking skink.
on. You mean skink?
Yeah, skink.
Okay, I want to make sure you didn't say skank.
No, I skink, skink over there, skink dead. I don't want him to turn into fucking skink, into a skink. So I guess we just have this caveman around here. But I think that still technically we own him. I think he's still our intern.
So pitiful. I mean, legally, like, we have all of his documents. We took his social security card when he came on.
Yeah, and he doesn't look anything like his passport photo.
All right.
Let's put him to work in security. Let's
Oh.
train him to protect the compound.
Okay. I don't
So
know if I feel. I mean, I guess we.
listen, you gotta make hay while the sun is up, make lemons out of lemonade,
And
that kind of
make
whatever.
security guards out of Derek.
Yeah. Let's put the sausage. We already put the sausage back and got a piglet embryo. Now
Okay.
let's use that piglet embryo to play some cornhole in the backyard to stretch this metaphor. We need to make use of him if he's going to be a caveman, at least until he evolves.
Okay. All
So
right.
here, I got these throwing stars here.
That's weird.
We're going to train him. Well, we're in the training section in the backyard by the spilled Mountain Dew Code Black.
Right.
So it's going to teach. Okay, come here, Derek. Yep, no, it's okay. Very strong. So here, throw these throwing stars here. And also, Cole, we're going to do some randomization here because you'll see down at the end of the range, I painted some games on the wall. And whichever one Derek hits with his first throwing star.
He's getting so excited, Gary. Come
Let's give him some more blades. He's
on.
all hopped up on Code Black. He'll sleep tonight. Okay. And. Okay.
That's
Let's
weird.
walk.
Well,
Yeah, let's
good,
walk.
good shot, Derek. You stay there.
Okay. Okay, Derek. It's okay. We'll give you more Code Black later, buddy. All right. Let's head on
Is
over.
Code Black just Mountain Dew with coffee in it?
It's the Black Mountain Dew that tastes like grapes.
Oh, okay.
It's a thing.
Oh, okay.
I bought a case of it. It's discontinued. I only buy discredited sodas for our workers.
Just
All right. The soda commission has outlawed this in 3 states.
Yeah, all right.
That's good enough for our interns.
No, Derek, don't follow us.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right, you're
let's
good.
Walk
okay.
on down.
Let's go over here. Let's go down range.
Okay. Looks like the first star hit Joe and Mac. Caveman Ninja. The second star hit the NES port though. Super fuck. God damn it, Derek.
We bring you back. We give you back your human body. Your Cro-Magnon body, your Neanderthal body.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about Joe and Mac for the NES. Gary, there is not enough here to talk about.
Oh, yes.
So this
good
was
because we got other stuff.
This was recommended by Archive Lover, who says, fuck that carnivorous plant. Archive Lover, I'm sorry, I didn't get to the carnivorous plant.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the boss, the end of the second zone.
Ugh. I fought one dinosaur and I was like, okay, well the dinosaur is down, and then I fought a bigger dinosaur and it's like, I'm
done. That vomited smaller dinosaurs.
Yep.
That's my favorite part about this
I was like, yep, okay, I get it. This is a caveman thing. I have no goodwill for caveman shit, so I guess we're done here.
I'm not particularly into caveman shit either, because it is a thing. Like, and again, I don't want to, you know, this is the second time in this recording session I've referenced Retronauts, but they did an episode about this because Bob has talked about cave mania, that weird like 90s caveman thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
the aesthetic. And I have no specific love for cavemen, but the arcade version of this game I played a lot and liked.
Oh, wow. So I want to hear about that, because I played a couple of different versions of this. At least on home consoles, they were kind of the same. Like, is the X factor the multiplayer? Like, well, what's the actual deal here?
It just controls a little bit. It feels a little bit better. That's mostly it.
Okay.
Like, feels a little bit better. The NES version is by far the worst one.
Oh, of course.
Of this. That feels the worst and looks the worst and everything.
That's not like the Game Boy version. I couldn't bring myself to play the Game Boy version.
Yeah, I did not try that. But the Sega and Super Nintendo versions are okay.
Okay.
The Sega version more or less feels the same as the arcade and is not bad. But it just kind of feels okay. Like, it's just kind of a platformer. And, like, I like arcade platformers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a genre that you see very often in the arcade. I've always been a fan of those.
Is it a platformer if there is never any instant death pit? Because each of these levels was just a flat plane that maybe had to go up and down a Bronchosaurus.
There's jumping. There's okay. platforming in the second level of the NES version.
Mm, okay.
Where you deal with water and you don't die when you land in the water, you get hurt and then like kind of come out like Mario and lava.
Okay.
Happens to you except for with water. So that's weird. But so there is eventually more kind of platforming.
Okay.
But the arcade version was cool because of the multiplayer, and it was cool because of these big gigantic kind of bosses were more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, you know, so like
I like a big sprite,
bigger dinosaurs. Yeah, you fight big sprites, big gulp sprites. So I remember kind of liking it, but the NES version is excrement. Like, excrement.
Yeah,
it's very bad indeed.
Yeah. So this is a game that was subtitled Caveman Ninja, which I have no interest in seeing that. try again, Data East. it is a game where you're playing as either Joe or Mac, depending on how many players you have, and it's kind of brawlery but very basic. There's no like 3D plane of movement. You're just kind of throwing axes and then upgrading your weapons as you go along to kind of get more effective projectiles as you're fighting this suite of caveman style enemies, from pteranodons down to, you know, what I erroneously called Bronchiosaurus.
and giant plants.
Right, yeah.
That dinosaur. Data East is a real weird Sunsoft level, like.
Yeah, you know. Like, so I want to say they're hit or miss, but, like, I remember liking stuff they've done.
They're pretty hit and miss, but, like, they have some things that are not so bad.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly, I'm a weird Karnov defender.
Okay.
I like Karnov.
Yeah, I could be down for that.
Yeah, Karnov's good. What else have, have these guys done? I'm kind of looking at their games. I guess there is a lot of shit.
And bad dudes. I was about to say, a lot of bad dudes. Karate Champ. I'm like, no, Karate Champ isn't very good.
No, but I played a lot of it. Like, yeah, there's a lot of games I played that are not.
Oh, they did the SNES Shadowrun. I think that might be where my goodwill comes from.
Ding 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 ding.
That is a very good game. Yeah,
it's very good. They did
Tattoo Assassins. They did Werewolf Last Warrior.
Oh, that game has really good weird music too. It's like weird, like Jewish folk music. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it should be like for an establishing shot for like, you know,
like of a shtetl. Yeah,
yeah, like 1941 Prague. But it's the music for Werewolf the Last Warrior.
Yeah,
That game is very weird too, because you turn your arms turn into claws that look like highlight bits or whatever.
Yeah, that is kind of one of the classic canonical bad games.
Yeah.
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 They also did Captain America and the Avengers.
Oh, I'm way into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have some games I'm pretty into. Yeah. But then they also end up having like the NES version of Joe and Mac.
Yeah.
Which is there's no good thing to say about it.
They did everything. Like they did everything with Joe and Mac. Which like
yeah, these guys again, are the Joe and Mac guys.
They have the stink of an attempted mascot on them.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys were supposed to be supposed to bring it back. Take advantage of that Ninja Mania, but it's just it's not gonna work.
No.
The actual game, so the game that we're not gonna talk about very much because there's not very much to talk about is like you walk to the right, little tiny dinosaur birds and regular birds kind of dive bomb you and you kill cavemen. The reason why you're doing it is because they stole your girls.
Right.
There's an ugly misogynist streak
to you. We're gonna get to that in the game facts, man.
Yeah, I wanted to say that so I could give some people some fuel for message board post about like these guys spend 45 minutes talking about how sexist God Hand is. They didn't even get it, these casual
fuckers. Oh, it makes us stronger. It makes us stronger, complain yeah. more. Oh, it yeah, sustains it's me.
45 minutes.
Like it's yeah. problematic, but I still fucking love God Hand and I wish I could be playing it all the time.
Yeah, it is go to hell, nerds. you're just winning back women, cave babes,
mm-hmm.
and fighting dinosaurs, and it is shockingly low production values.
Yeah,
like the music is very annoying. The end bosses just sort of happen. Like you just go far enough to the right until all of a sudden you go to a featureless plane where you fight a boss.
Yep.
And the bosses are really, really bad. I watched a speedrun of it. There are three unique bosses and then two palette swaps. So you fight two pterodactyls and two tyrannosauruses. Until you fight the end boss, which is this weird, like, gigantic, like, human figure that I have no idea what he's supposed to represent.
Right.
But yeah, like, you know, really, really lazy. Shitty platformer.
Yeah, like
should bring back with this.
so it's been ported to just a huge number of things: arcade, SNES, Mega Drive, /Genesis, NES, Game Boy, Amiga, and DOS. Like, I understand mm-hmm. trying to expand the market, you know, the market base for this thing, but yeah. like, yeah, you're doing too much, Data East. You're not doing it right. I don't think.
Spreading yourself too thin, Data East.
Yeah, burning the candle at both ends. And even though they kind of like put it out there, like they, you know, there's like the NES version, the Amiga version were done by Elite Systems. Like it's still more than this game can handle. And like even on the arcade, it's still very basic. But like
yeah.
everything that recommended the arcade version and the Genesis version by proxy kind of being the closest one to that. Is about the visuals and stuff, and on the NES version execrable is the right word for it. Like it is like even the intro cutscene, they didn't have enough room for sprites for the women, so they just had a bunch of cavemen walking into a hut, and then that was the beginning of the game.
Like, what if some guys went home?
Yep. I was like, oh, these are my dudes, right? And then I played the Genesis version because like there has to be more here. No, there isn't. They show them walking into the hut and then, you know, walking out dragging the cave women by their hair. You know. Yep.
No, weird. Like, where did that cliche come from? Because they're literally like hitting a woman on the head with a club and dragging her by her hair as a caveman mating ritual.
Yeah.
Is something that is like old as the hills.
It is.
And I have no idea where it came from.
Neither do I. So my earliest reference point for cavemen is the Flintstones. And, you know, Fred was pretty henpecked, and so was Barney, too. Like, the women were definitely, they held the power in that relationship.
They were alpha.
Yeah.
And Barney was a shitty little cock.
Yeah, and I was into it, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Barney was a shitty little cock.
Yeah.
It's a living.
Yeah. Sorry. And, so I've got this thing now for just deploying the word cuck.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say me and my friends when I was back home, like it was largely a dark visit, but the hanging out with my friends part that was fun. We were talking about bringing doing like signifying cuck, like starting to just be like, "What up, my cuck?" when you see one of your friends. And the very dark, without going into too much detail, and we're recording this in advance, so this could become very tragic in retrospect.
Okay.
My mom went to the hospital, but the whole weekend when I was hanging out with my friends, this is going somewhere, when they would show up, I'd be like, "What up, my cuck?" in kind of that happy voice. And then we'd be like, "What's?" And then, like, we're talking, my friend Austin was talking about getting his dryer fixed. He's like, "Yeah, I'm getting really cucked by my dryer." And, like, we're just using it as an all-purpose verb for, like, something kind of screwing you over.
Yeah.
But I was just saying, "What am I cook?" And then I was kind of in like a fugue state at the hospital because my mom was in the hospital. And the doctor came up to me and I started saying, "What up, my cuck?" But I sat myself from saying cuck, which just meant I did a really happy, like, "What up?" to the doctor who was going to tell me grave medical news about my mother.
Right.
So it was in retrospect, it was very funny at the time. I was just kind of out of it.
You were just mortified. But like in reality, you probably made that doctor's day. Like, "Oh, everybody that I meet is so just
so sad,
bedraggled," right? Like, it's a hospital.
This cheerful fella is pretty optimistic.
"Hey, what
about
up?
This?
No,
what up? What up, friend?
How goes it? Just how are you doing? I know you're coming here. I know you're coming here to
Can
tell
I give
me
you a
how.
Checkout?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you need me to put that weird little metal thing on your chest?
Hey, you know what? You want me to go down to the cafeteria, get you a styrofoam cup full of mostly ice, but some Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Can I go eat you a dry turkey sandwich? But anyway, so we were bringing it was a whole week.
No, you were taking cuck back. Yeah,
we're taking it back. Like, we're not interested in the fetish. We just want to use it as the signifying cuck. Like,
right,
you know, if people are going to call me a cuck for, like, because, you know, because I don't like that spanking in God Hand. Well, you know what? I'm going to do the time. I may as well do the crime, you know?
Yeah. No, I threw away a t-shirt design that was just beta cuck for Dark Souls 2. Back when liking Dark Souls 2 was a very controversial opinion. More controversial than not liking Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, weird. But yeah, it's a but anyway, that was the fun part of that kind of thing, and Barney knows what he did.
Barney's fucking cuck. Yeah, no, so that was my earliest kind of impression of this, and I watched plenty of the Flintstones. I watched lots of Flintstones movies, etc. But I never came away, you know, appreciating the Monster Manual entries about the, you know, the fucking saber-toothed tigers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I never got fascinated with it as a thing. Like, do you remember you would have been much younger than me when Iceman was around? Remember Iceman?
Iceman, like the X-Man?
No, I think he was called the Iceman.
Because I love Iceman the X-Man, but...
The Iceman, it was like a guy who got... Well, I mean, I like that Iceman as well. Maybe I'm saying it's not the Iceman. There was like a frozen guy who was found.
So like Lucy or whatever?
It was kind of like that. Like, it wasn't as, but it was somebody who was like remarkably preserved. And I think they were called the Iceman.
I have a vague recollection of this in one of the books. I think Lucy supplanted him, maybe, in terms of like early hominids who were uncovered. Like, they were just, you know, walking across a mountaintop and they had, you know, like barley corns in their stomach or whatever.
Here Otzi the Iceman is Otzi? His name, or Utsi.
I remember this guy. Yeah, where was he found? It was like in Peru or something.
Yeah. This guy was a huge deal when I was in school.
Yeah.
Like, the science teacher was like, "Hey, there's an Iceman. Like, learn it. Learn it, kids."
He was the Coco the gorilla of early humans.
Yeah. Yeah. my teacher was like, hey, there's an Iceman.
All right. Should I, like, is he coming for me? Why should I be concerned?
Are we going to watch the Iceman cometh on VHS?
Because that is, I mean, like, it's kind of boring, but also very advanced for my age, I have to tell you.
I'm too young for this. Please, let's see this weird jerky boy from this Dark Souls-esque looking corpse. God, is he weird looking, though. His arm just, like, because I just remember it because one of his arms is crossed over in front of him.
Okay.
At this unnatural angle.
Oh, yeah, like he was huddling for warmth. Like, we're just laughing and joking about this person's last moments.
Oh, yeah. A.K.A. other names. Otzi the Iceman. Simulian Man. Frozen Fritz.
I like Frozen Fritz. That's pretty good. So it's got good a little one. Bit of like a racist kind of thing.
Yeah. Good one. Wikipedia. Wikipedia said it worse. But yeah, he had, there's all this, like, cause since he was so preserved, we found out so much about him. Like,
right.
He had whipworm in his intestines and like three of his four ribs are cracked. Like, we just get to learn about this misery of this guy's last,
yeah, I mean, like, you don't find somebody, you know, like, he died at some point. Like, he didn't live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not. Well, I mean, if we found the Iceman and he was alive, that'd be well and truly fucked. I don't know if we want that. He Captain America'd him. And, like,
yeah.
Can you imagine, like, if since people were really racist back in the day, can you imagine how racist cavemen would be?
Oh,
would be like brand new. Yeah, tremendously racist. Like,
yeah. I mean, they'd be like Chevy Chase's father from Community, like, just completely finding these arbitrary distinctions.
Yeah. It would really be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was my, I remember Cave Mania with that. I remember, you know, the Dinosaurs TV show. There were things
something different, though. I don't know. Like, I love dinosaurs, but I don't think that makes me somebody who likes caveman shit.
It's just the Flintstones where the dinosaurs are the people. Like, right. It's the same kind of like Henpecked Husband shitty sitcom thing.
Right, right.
Like,
brah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, I mean, I remember that just being the kind of prehistoric mania.
Yeah,
kind of thing. I guess that's more like Jurassic Park, but yeah, I love Jurassic Park, but I don't like cavemen.
It's so weird. I mean, Jurassic Park has nothing to do with cavemen.
No, I.
into the creation museum trap, Gary. Yeah, you have something to tell me? Like, when you were back in Illinois, did you follow Jerry Falwell? Like, what's going on? I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, man. I just hate Nazis. Yeah, fucking SJWs hating Nazis.
I was just putting the Blues Brothers. I hate Nazis. But, you know, Illinois Nazis. Nah, that's a dumb thing.
No, I know your Blues Brothers thing. I just, okay. it was a joke in the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
But also,
but also it's fucking real and terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just, it's super bizarre that it is, like, do you think that's, like, poised for a comeback?
Like Cave Mania?
Cave Mania, yeah.
No, we're not going to have comebacks and hobbies in this new world.
There's not enough time yet, but, like, I'm just thinking, like, everything is on a 20-year cycle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so Harold Ramis tried to bring us back with Year One.
Oh, man,
you know?
Why wasn't that movie good? Like, the people involved in it were good.
Uh-huh.
It was a really boring, shitty movie.
Yeah, I never saw it. My only like watermark for Year One was that, like, the summer that I was in New York, advertisement for Year One was just everywhere on the subway. Mm. Like that was where they spent all their money trying to make people go. That was a terrible movie, right?
It was really boring. It was like a C-minus movie. Like, there are laughs to be had in it, but, like, for the most part, it's like those weird, like, attempts to remake, like, a slapstick buddy kind of comedy in an old Bob Hope kind of way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Nobody wants those anymore. Like, stop trying to remake those, like, bonkers capers movies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Literally nobody cares about that shit. Like, Jack Black is not the new Bob Hope. Stop trying to make that.
He's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The here's a weird thing, and this is on accident political, but it was the thing I had in my back pocket for you know, when we get a game that doesn't have a lot to talk about.
Okay.
With it, last episode I told you about the butt chugging soup thing.
Okay.
On that Vice show, and when we left off with Gary watches his friend watch Vice TV, I went up to take a shower. When I came back, there was another episode of it, and it was the same thing in Russia. And it was like all like these women, they're explaining like fashion and youth culture.
But was this also about butt chugging?
No. There's no butt chugging. This is arguably weirder and scarier. Like DJ culture and kind of youth culture in Russia. Like they're, and I'm sure this is not monolithic. It's not everybody. Mm-hmm. They fucking love Putin. Like there's like the people are like DJs, like fashion shows where people have his like speeches transcribed on clothing. And like people like printed his face and stuff. Like he's a pop icon.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure it's not all of youth culture, but there's like a segment of right. youth culture in Russia that like, and that's so weird, like, because
way into the authoritarian kind of deal.
Because yeah. we have that here, you know, like right. we have our little Pepe icon.
But I don't see that. Like I haven't seen that infiltrate like club culture here.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know, there's me not being DJing the person who's who is be...
way into club culture.
yeah, when Cole's down spinning tracks stacks of wax down at the rusty manhole, you don't find a lot of Trump jams.
Yeah. Please, I'm down at the fellowship. Come on.
Okay. But it's very weird because you don't like no DJ is gonna wear like a Trump hat. Like right. you're not gonna have like a cool DJ guy.
Ironically, like, I might actually think that was kind of funny.
I can't find it funny.
Like I can't find it funny, yeah. but it might be kind of funny.
It's funny in theory, and I've lost my ability to laugh.
Right, stuff.
But the it's just so weird to see like these kids, like cool fashion kids, talking to this American reporter, talking about how much they love Putin.
Yeah,
and it's very strange. Like
that gets like way too close to things that I find like legit scary.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Like it's not a fun tangent. It's a bummer tangent. But it was just noteworthy. Like, oh, this is really surreal. Hmm.
Hey Gary, do you want to finish out this Joe and Mac talk and talk about Westworld?
Oh yeah. Let's do it. Let's throw some spoilers down.
Yeah. So let's do this. I found a little bit of game facts stuff. So there's somebody on the Joe and Mac boards for multiple different platforms saying like, hey, I made this game in Mario or in WarioWare Micro Games DIY. Like, hey, like I made this. I was inspired by Joe and Mac. Nobody responded, but I went to his YouTube channel.
Okay.
And the title of the micro game is No Fatties. And it is literally the end of Joe and Mac, where all of the women come back. But the goal is to click on any of the more heavyset women, so a pterodactyl comes down and picks them up, so they don't get to one of the characters.
The heavyset woman is one of the alternate endings for the arcade game. it gets even worse than that because there's three different endings. There's one where it's like you're surrounded by cave babes.
Okay.
There's one where there's a fat cave babe that you have to run away from. And then there's one where there's a caveman wearing makeup
that chases you because of cave people. Oh, that is awful. Bad. I thought this person was being terrible.
No, well, they are, but they're inspired by something that's also like it's somehow worse that they're looking at this 1992 artifact of like fat phobia and homophobia and being like, you know, like I could update this for modern times.
Yeah, or totally transphobia. Like, oh, there's a man in makeup. Oh, I better run away from that. Yeah,
any number of phobia, like you know, pretty gross.
Yeah,
not into you, Joe and Mac. You're on fucking watch. these guys are on the forces of evil. Like,
oh, for
Joe,
sure.
Joe
oh,
and good. Mac are the muscle on the side of the shipbirds of evil.
Let's make that official, please.
Yeah.
But this person also wrote what appears to be a fact or a cheat for bikini karate babes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Isn't it the weird like that idea of they're just being like babes as a subclass? Like it's just like look out for those babes. There's a bunch of babes in this flash game. They're fighting ninjas and monkeys.
Babes are coming. Yeah. Bikini Karate Babes is an action game developed and published by Creative Edge Software, which was released in 2002. That does not shed any light on this. Let's look at the board. Oh boy, real karate babes. Yeah, man, that's
the babe suffix is just yeah. There's a the guy who wrote the fact for this is Dengel, who is our old friend.
Yep. No, I saw this too. He's trying Dengel to experiment, right?
Yeah, the experimental section of his FAQ where he talks about adding that PayPal link and how he's made $87, which works out more in Canadian lol.
Well, that was more than last time. Like last time was like $15, right?
No, it was 87 before too. It's the same thing. But just seeing Dangle keeps popping up in these games. It's very strange.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Dangle's back, baby. he's a very active pack writer. What was the thing he wrote for before?
Oh gosh, it must have been either maybe that was Eternal Sun.
Yeah, I'm taking a look now to see if I can find his.
Oh, he was the guy who did the Bikini Karate Babe, I think.
Oh, he did Animorphs for Game Boy Color.
Okay, there
so
we go.
So more recent than that, like. He's done like every, or not, I guess, and he's done multiple. Oh, he did maps for Resident Evil games. Okay,
yeah.
But yeah, Dangle is Star Wars bro, aka Fecal Lord.
Yep. Okay, there we go. Fecal Lord. Yeah. I forgot about Fecal Lord.
Yeah, Fecal Lord Dangle. If you go to the game section of his profile, it only has one game that he owns. It's Mario Kart 8. Games Fecal Lord owns Mario Kart 8.
Very, very recent, actually.
And then on the right, he has collection stats. Most common platform, Wii U. Most common genre, racing. Most common franchise, Mario Kart. You think?
Oh man, more everything you wanted to know about Fecal Lord but were afraid to ask.
Dangle's got you covered.
Oh man. And there's a bunch of message board activity, but I don't want to go into it.
No, that's too much. No. Yeah, so let's throw the spoiler warning.
Let's do admin stuff before that.
Oh yeah, that's smart. If you how we get this game?
This was a randomization that was submitted by Archive Lover, who said, "Fuck that carnivorous plant."
Oh yeah, I remember the "fuck that carnivorous plant" comment.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for suggesting this. If you'd like to suggest a game, if you go to addressuffering.com, you can do so. There is or will be a widget.
Yes. The widget right now might be under the about page. There will soon be, I will soon have the ability to add designated page for that, but, just click around. You'll find it.
Do so. We'd appreciate it. Yep. What else can they do?
Well, they can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/abjectsuffering. We post all of the new episodes there. We get comments and we appreciate them. But also, if you want to rate or review us on iTunes, that does help us out in a very concrete kind of way. And if you want to help us out in an even more concrete way, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah, absolutely. And then telling your friends about it.
Yep.
Also really, really fantastic. All super helpful. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. So we're gonna talk a little bit about the TV show Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're gonna watch Westworld, you've probably already seen it, but it's a show that is predicated on twists, so if you're planning on watching it, don't listen to the spoiler section.
Definitely. So we'll put in the music and then listen afterwards for that.
And also, you know, I know that me and Jeremy Greer did this in a Days of Future Cast episode as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting all the Westworld out of our system without doing a Westworld episode.
Right.
So, thank you very much. And who's Cave Dog, I guess?
Yeah, that would be the right way to do it.
Yeah. Who's Cave Dog?
So I haven't listened to you and Jeremy do that because I wanted to avoid spoilers. So I just kind of mainlined Westworld over the course of the past week or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vacation stuff. So what'd you think?
Yeah. It's like an 8.5 or something like that.
That's about where I'm at too.
Yeah.
When I like really strongly recommended it to you, it was based on the strength of the early episodes.
Right.
I think that show's got a real creamy middle that I could like.
Yeah.
Need some tightening up.
Yeah, it's got real like Twin Peaks situation where you know anything that like David Lynch did was really, really good at the beginning and very end. But yeah, there is a definite creamy middle where I was like, yeah, I see the pieces that you're trying to put into place with Maeve and with what's her name? Oh gosh. Oh, the woman.
Doris,
yeah.
Dolores,
there we go. I can see that. And like, I really dig the themes. Like it's a, you know, it's like a, Blade Runner meets Eternal Sunshine. Like there are all these pieces that I really, really enjoy in between, but like, it feels like they confused baroqueness and kind of mechanical rules intricacy with kind of like interesting twist kind of stuff in a way mm-hmm. that was kind of like, I dig it and I'm along for the ride, but I'm incredibly skeptical and I feel a little bit like you're wasting my time.
It's for me, like I think that's probably true. I also had an element, like the biggest sin it committed for me is pacing.
Right.
You know, and there's some sins of writing in this as well. Like yeah, there's some truly, truly bad dialogue.
Yeah. Like, and the more I work here, the more I think I'm more afraid of the humans than the host.
Man. The number of times characters just state the theme,
yep.
or like, you know, I kept expecting, like, I was tweeting about it, so just be the guy who repeats my own tweets, but like, just, you know, Anthony Hopkins sits down and says, you know, a play a piano is much like the real thing. Perhaps we don't know the difference.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I played with a Power Wheels. I thought it was like a real car, but it wasn't. You know, it's all things like that. Like, characters are constantly doing that, and it's like, Here's the thing that I thought of, like, very early on, even when I was, like, totally on board, like, first couple episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Something I thought of was, like, you can't do a show where there's going to be a question about who's real and who's not.
Right.
And have – so if in a TV show and a piece of a work of fiction that where you're dealing with different levels of dialogue.
Right.
So like different registers. The idea that the people inside the world, the hosts, they – operate in this kind of weird fictional reality that is supposed to be kind of cheesy and stuff because they're made to be a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make your human characters do that too.
Yeah. You can't have the stuff underground be equally as cheesy.
Yes. You literally cannot have that writer character.
No,
like he cannot exist in this world because it makes me think everyone's a fucking robot.
Yep.
You know? And it's like, and that guy, God.
Yeah. I could not brook it. I could not like handle him pissing on the map.
Oh God, fuck that guy. And then the fact that like he's just there to be a part in season two apparently.
Yep.
Because he doesn't do jack shit in season
one. Well, yeah, like he is there to assume the role of like putting the host through even greater torments. Like his whole thing of like, oh, vivisection, blah blah blah. Like he's supposed to be a fucking rock star.
The it made me think that the person who wrote that character, which is like Christopher Nolan's like brother and writing partner, and someone else, who's the other creator of this?
It's J.J. Abrams.
Well, he produced it. Mm. There's a couple, Lisa Joy, who's the other person, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy. Like one of them had a roommate or something that was a writer who they hated. You know, like that's what that character feels like.
Yeah, there's nothing likable about him. And like, therefore nothing that he makes could be likable or realistic or like even creatively fulfilling. Like I look at this kind of thing and I, you know, like for as like diabolical as Anthony Hopkins' character is, like mm-hmm. I still like Anthony Hopkins.
Well, he's actually a good actor.
Right.
So like even when he's saying that, you know, when I was a kid, these foxes spent their whole time chasing after a fake, these dogs, you know, chased a fake fox, they didn't realize it was not the real thing. Like,
right.
Even when he's doing that, those dialogue crimes,
yeah,
he's still great.
Yeah,
like, he's great in it, and you can't really, he actually serves the twists.
Yeah, like
you can't really guess where he's going with stuff.
Right. Yeah, but like I can, the sheer talent that he brings to that role actually builds a lot of pathos into his character's motivations.
I think that that's true. I don't think that's true of Maeve. I think Maeve is kind of a tragedy in the show, but I think Dolores is actually really good too.
Yeah.
There's like she's, you know, Evan Rachel Wood is a fantastic actress, and like that out of all the twists that they do, because the show ends with like five twists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twist after twist.
I was watching the last episode and I was like, when the fuck is this going to end? Like I didn't check on the Apple TV how long the episode was, and I was like, mm-hmm. this episode has been going on for five episodes worth of length.
But it's so weird though, because we spent like, they didn't need to expand it like that.
Uh-huh.
Because we spent so much fucking time with those mortuary idiots.
Yeah,
like
Liam and Sylvester. I like Sylvester's actor a lot. Like he was the voice of reason, but like everything that happened with them was just so goddamn idiotic.
I thought Beardo guy was a really bad actor.
Oh really?
Like he was saying the things that I think that you should say.
Uh-huh.
Because the other guy just looked like slack-jawed in terror. Yeah,
the other guy was just like literally just an instrument for the plot. Like literally just an instrument for whatever plot was going on with making the host sentient.
But the Beardo guy was doing like writer crimes, like the writer character, like was too big.
Maybe I was like laughing at him, and that's what like brought him a lot of goodwill for me.
But like, how do you? And I apologize to people who are listening to Dave's Futurecast, but if you don't, you should listen to Dave's Futurecast.
Right? Yeah.
Is like, how do you make a facility that literally builds killer robots and not have a panic button?
Right.
Like the mortuary thing, they literally, like, nobody will get on a cell phone and be like, hey, one of these things has become sentient, help. Yeah. You just text your friend, like, robot man.
Well, they're not robots. They're fucking humans with robot brains, like only the first generation. Like, they're actual, like, they're biological humans just with, you know, not just limiters, but like unlimiters that can make them into super beings. Like, and so like, that gets the other thing about this. Like, I had a good time watching the show, like, and everything about this show that I really, really enjoyed was stuff about like running the park and even stuff
I
like
the world building stuff.
Yeah. The world building stuff, like, and even stuff with, what's his name? William from It's Always Sunny. Yeah. Like,
that stuff was great. Yeah. And that plot twist works for me pretty well.
Oh yeah. That was amazing. But like
the multiple timeline thing.
I wanted to know more about the practical implications of running this park and the stuff that went into it, right?
they go into that more than I thought they would, not as much as I wanted them to,
right,
but I was very worried there wouldn't be that thing. But then when they show like William showing up and like he's selecting his character class at the beginning, like
the white hack and the black hack, I was like, this is so good. And that was like episode
video
one
game
or two
literate in a way that like I really respond to. There's a part where his brother, who is another bad actor, who was like over the top evil,
which
it was a feint, like I understand like why they made him so evil, but the where he's like somebody like William like helps a guy out, and then the guy who he helps out like starts to try to drag him into a side quest. and his brother's like, no, he's just gonna make you go dig up some gold or some shit. And like I was like, oh, that is exactly like when you get to a new town in Skyrim and everyone rushes you down to give you a stupid quest. And I was like, man, this show's smart about video game-ness.
Oh yeah, like in a way that inspired a lot of think pieces that I thought were really cringeworthy when I didn't know about the show. But like, it's totally there. Like
when you actually watch the show, it is very good. Like the reason why those think pieces were cringy to me is because it's so like it's not a revelation. It's in the premise of the show.
It's very like obvious. And God. Yeah. Oh my God, what's his name, the man in black? I forget.
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris is like America's supporting actor and laureate, you know.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love there's a part when you're talking about what you wanted to figure out, because I wanted to know what he was, and there's, you know, no, he gets to do whatever he wants, you know. And that stuff. And I love when the person recognizes him.
Yeah,
like that's one of my favorite moments in the series.
Yeah.
So like the good stuff is really excellent.
Oh, it's just so like good. It's like when they start fucking with the timeline, like, oh, memories are recalled and perfect, so whatever is, you know, related in the show is presented as if it's in real time, because that is what the host experienced. Like I was all about that. Like that had me fucking rock hard.
That was really, really good. And even the idea that Bernard was one of the robots worked for me as well.
Yeah, me too.
That's a good twist. You know, and I guessed it too early, but if I hadn't guessed
this
doesn't look like anything to me.
Episodes beforehand
would have been like a real moment. Like that was a really cool reveal.
even like 20 seconds before that, when he said, "Oh, I can't see the door." Like, what are you talking about?
I wish they had saved it instead of the door, if they had made it for the, like, this doesn't look like anything to me to the picture.
Yeah.
That would have been stronger. And if they had hit it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But like the thing, it's just such a weird show that felt like a lot of wasted opportunity. Like I enjoyed all my time with it. Despite, you know, except for the weird Maeve storyline where like, it felt like there was a deleted scene where she had some power over the two mortuary idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like had promised them something, or there's some reason for them to wake her up, or, you know, or some reason for them to go along with all of her insane plans,
to make her into a literal supervillain by giving her just basically max in all stats. And like before that, I really enjoyed Maeve because her stuff always, you know, her along with Dolores, you know, the both of them kind of like led into like, oh, they're just in a groundhog loop. And as they remember smaller and smaller things, they're like, they're more aware of the fact that their reality is kind of repeating over and over again. And that was something like the first episode of this, the pilot for this show, is one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really strong. Yeah. And the twist that James Marsden, like, you know, you think he's going to fall in love with the robot, which would be one kind of story that you could do and would be interesting.
Uh-huh.
And then they do that through a totally different way through the the William character, which is really cool.
Yeah. I fucking hate James Marsden character in this.
Oh, really? So bad. I'm into James Marsden in this. Yeah. I think that he works.
Yeah.
Again, because he's written to be away. He's like, anytime it's one of the hosts that are acting away up until Maeve becomes statted out.
Yeah, he was just tiresome to me.
He's not that fun to be around.
Yeah.
As a thing. The other, like, there's a weird thing. Whenever if I watch something and I don't like the lady characters, and I'm always very careful and I try to like examine my assumptions about
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know, and it's, and I think that this is other than Dolores, because you end up with the assistant, Bernard's assistant, who felt like a bad Joss Whedon character to me.
Elsie, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's, you know, just like, I'm the sarcastic, plucky girl. And like, this feels like bad writing. And then the lady from corporate, who also I thought was like very mustache twirly and shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dolores was still good. And I don't think it's their fault as actors. I just think it was, you know, a lot of the male leads also had really shitty writing too. So
yeah, yeah.
I gave myself a sexism pass on it that I had to kind of like work my way out.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Like, I was pretty unsettled by how much, it's kind of like The Walking Dead, where everything bad happens to people of color. Like,
yeah,
all of the violence happens to women in this. And like, I understand that is trying to support the theme of people coming here to be their quote unquote true self, which just involves being monsters to these beings that are under their complete control because they can't be hurt. And like, that actually ended up being it like weirdly brought some like sympathy for the Man in Black to me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because he was looking for a version of this that was more real, where he could be hurt. But like, throughout the entire show, it was like, in a Game of Thrones kind of way, you're really exalting in having bad things happen to these women.
Yeah.
In a way
that
adds to the substance of this, to the point, like when you see the, you know, the, oh gosh, what's her name? Clementine, you know, lobotomized and serving as the, you know, as the trigger man for Bernard. Right. Like, you know, that fills into it. But like, there's so much more delicacy you could apply to this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I agree with that, and there's no arguing with what's on the screen.
Yeah.
I also think that like, they essentially made a thing where we make sentient beings so you can have sex with them.
Yeah.
You know, for or against their will. Like, I think that's part of the like kind of grossness of this, you know, horror.
Yeah.
Series, you know, like, not that makes it okay, because you're still choosing what you want to focus on.
Yeah.
And there's plenty, like, I got scalped. Like, there's plenty of kind of equal opportunity violence. I don't think it actually. I understand people who, you know, call it out for that. It's the same thing with Game of Thrones, where it's like, I like it in spite of that. I recognize it's a problem.
Right, right. So that leads into, like, I'm really, really curious about what they're setting up, because what's his name? Robert Ford set up like, oh, we're going to, I'm going to allow myself to be killed. You know, so Dolores is kind of the patient zero for this sentience in a way that Maeve thought she was, but she's totally not, like, setting up for the host to completely take over the park. Like, I don't see a way for that to shake out.
I wish that it was just one series, because that's what I want. I wish about everything. I want endings.
Yep.
If they had paced it for having an ending, it would be a lot stronger paced.
Yeah.
I think it's either going to be like a survival thing, like a Jurassic Park thing.
Yep.
With killer robots, which is essentially what the movie is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or because they have that samurai world nod, because the movie has the Rome world.
SW. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they're either going to move to that or like have it bleed to that in a weird way that I'm not that interested in. Like,
yeah, I'm just
DJ Abrams was like, oh, this is about the beginning of consciousness, and I'm like, yeah,
I'm kind of done with AI consciousness kind of stuff. Like, it was the reveries shit and the memory kind of side of this that made me even like go along with this in the first place.
The tragic part of it works for me.
Yeah.
You know, and the kind of and like, I will watch a cheesy Jurassic Park but with robot cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, I might work in an entertainment level, but there's going to be pretensions in the second season that I'm not going to be on board with, if I have to predict.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the characters that were like Chekhov's writer character is not going anywhere. You know, that guy's going to be real front and center.
Yeah.
Maeve is going to be real front and center. Like, so, and Anthony Hopkins is gone and William is likely gone, you know, Ed Harris. So they're likely going to be, and the corporate lady, like, there's going to be some performances that I'm not on board with, like characters that they've set things up for that I do not care for.
Yeah. And I can see them entirely moving beyond the thing that I'm really curious about, which is, again, the logistics of the park.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I mean, Yeah, that's shit's fascinating.
Yeah, like, you know? I want more guests, you know, like I want to see them interact with this world in a way that somebody who's playing Dishonored would interact with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like different, because that's the horror of the story.
Yeah,
you know, to me is like the memory stuff, which is a logical extension of it, it's really interesting, but just the idea of like, oh, like, you know, this is a consequence of this AI thing is not just, you know, rebellion and Skynet. It is also that we make these things that are essentially people, mm-hmm. and just abuse them to you know, heights that are unimaginable, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think the series did a really good job of kind of expressing that.
Yeah. Like, and it's, you know, kind of like counterpoint in The Man in Black, like Ed Harris, God, he's a fucking national treasure. But like, you know, when neither him nor Dolores lived up to the either's expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of like, oh, you know, you were not as sentient as I wanted you to be, and you were not as free as I wanted you to be, and like they have lived mm-hmm. these loops over and over again, like that whole time shifted loop kind of thing of it. Like, just if I could just have a series that was creatively edited like that, like, oh, just mm-hmm. give me that.
Yeah,
that's all I want.
And it does, you know, I feel like it fully explores that idea. It's just you spend a lot of time cutting to. Maeve and the mortuary idiots.
Yep.
You know, essentially, and Maeve like gathering her like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen robots and fucking in a burning tent, and like you enter into some real HBO style dumbfuckery.
Yeah, if you
like,
want to go to hell, fuckery. There's a quick way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is no good. The and to pivot, I know we were talking about sexism in this thing. Just to pivot, because you know I talked about before how like celebrities don't do anything for me.
Right.
In general, like I don't have celebrity thirst.
Right.
I think the lady who plays Clementine is ridiculously strikingly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like that's
Yep.
There we go. Like that is captivating in a way that like
yep.
is no, actually she, like I understand she, celebrity and, thirst.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She looks otherworldly. She's like she's a little bit, oh gosh, what's her name? That 70s show. Blah.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Mila Kunis. She's very Mila Kunis-esque in her facial proportions in a way that works for me. Yeah, I avoided saying Clementine worked for me, but she totally does. Like that was very good casting from like a humanist sculpture kind of point. And I feel gross saying that, but like when she was replaced with somebody who was, you know, also otherworldly attractive, but like not the same, I missed her quirk and, you know, and her affect, you know.
It's a really interesting look. And she's, I think, I mean, part of it is just, you know, her look, but then also, like she's Armenian, mm-hmm. which is not a nationality that like you see often.
Right.
Again, not to reduce somebody, like, I, you know, I,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
I have no idea what their origin.
What are the protocols for talking about somebody being beautiful? I have no idea
what the
okay way to do this is. Yeah. But like,
she was, I feel like she was really well written too. Like she was more beholden to the loop than anybody else. And again, like the more that stuff was repeated, the more like those opening hours of the Westworld loop were kind of gone over, like the more pathos was brought to that, like that she, you know, and again, seeing those improvisations, like, I do not envy those actors trying to say like, oh, like, you know, you've been through this, but you have to act like you haven't. And with somebody like Clementine, you know, who is kind of in that role and kind of exposing her backstory a little bit by a little bit to the superhuman being who can remember it and who can see the cracks kind of being exposed, like that is a tremendous feat of production.
Yeah. And that was, you know, she was a foil.
Yeah,
you know, for Maeve, which was, and it was like back when Maeve was good before Maeve started.
Man, I had so much hope for Maeve before she became a super villainous.
Yeah. People like are not on, like, that's kind of where I'm at with it, and that's more or less where Jeremy's at with it too, but people are not on board with that. Like they're like way into her and like, I can't wait to see her story goes and she was the actress of the show and stuff.
I
don't think so. She's
a good actress. Like I felt like I saw a little bit too much of her breasts in this, but I thought she was more interesting before she was given like superpowers and before she was given God mode, and the way God mode is articulated in this show as like describing like, oh, she walked over and stabbed the man thinking blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Like
it's preacher powers. It's the same thing, you know? Yeah. That's kind of interesting. I just think that like, you know, when she, her as a written kind of character in the world, she was really good. she never, like, I feel like if I were that, like, let's say I'm a Westworld.
Okay.
And I get, I get out and I force two idiots to, like, fix me. Mm-hmm. I would be like, hey, turn off my affectation.
Right.
You know, cause they can do that. Like, mm-hmm. that's a thing, like, you know, and I would be like, stop making me like this snarky British woman.
Yeah. Like, put me in,
that's an element of my yoke.
put me in permanent analysis mode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I no longer need this sleeve, this collar, right, you know, on me, this part. So,
yeah,
but
I'm super happy that I watched it. Like, there's so much stuff to, like, recommend it. Like, again, in that timey-wimey-ness, you know, kind of side of it. Like, oh God, Ed Harris. Like, I hope they find something to do for him that is not just a fucking ghastly recreation of what he did. Again, that actor who I should know his name. It is so bizarre to see Liam McPoyle work in, you know, just serious dramatic stuff, but, like, he really, really worked for me in that. Like, I know he did like House of Cards, but I really just didn't get into House of Cards. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many, like, great performances that were brought into this. I just wish there was better stuff with the world building, which they did so well. I wish that, like, the execution lived up to what they promised with it.
It's a real you know, the time that they spend on things, you know, like,
yeah.
some of the time was spent very well.
Yeah.
Some of it was not. Oh, and it's hard not to think about it in terms of opportunity cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. I really dug Bernard's actor too. Like, he was fantastic.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's incredible. And I'm glad he's going to be a part of season two.
Yeah. I was happy when they brought him back.
Yeah. And him just kind of, like, being the kind of guy who is not as fully woke, you know, like, he's more kind of confused, you know, like, right, Bernard, right. Is interesting.
Yeah. Cause he has more history with the park than anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that stuff is very interesting. It's like you said, it's like an 8.5, which is still very good. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Totally worth watching. It's just weird.
Yeah. You know? I wish it hadn't tickled my specific bones and then just kind of backed away from it in a way that I thought was kind of more in service to it being a series.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anywho. You said to tell you when I when I watched Westworld and I watched it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So thanks for listening to that. So anybody who I feel like somebody has asked before and been like,
hey,
you know, talk about Westworld. So that's us talking about Westworld.
Yep.
We already did the admin stuff, so I think we can probably just say goodnight.
I think we can. Thank you so much. And tune in next week and for all the weeks coming.
Good night.
Good night.